So I see the lawyers are here for the second matter on our oral argument calendar, and please take your time to settle in. I will ask the marshal to call the second case.
Now calling case 822-0215, State of Minnesota Respondent versus Albert Lomani Okito Coco, appellant.
All right, and counsel, welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I'll make just a few remarks, and then we'll let you take over the argument. So we very much look forward to speaking to you today. It always helps us to hear from the lawyers and for you to respond to our questions. I will make a couple of remarks, just reminders. You probably are well aware of it. So we do record today's proceedings, and an audio recording will be available later on the court's website. For our record, we very much appreciate it if you start your remarks by identifying yourself for the record as well as the client you represent. And then please keep an eye on the clock. The 15 minutes tends to go fairly quickly. It is easiest for you to see the clock if you stand in the center podium. But please note that you do have two other alternatives if you choose, and that it's up to you. You just might want to recognize that it's not as easy to see the clock in those two other locations. I would remind you, though, so don't worry about it either way. We will proceed with our conversation in a way that helps all of us. So with that, counsel for appellant, we are ready for you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Joseph G. Vaccaro, attorney for appellant Albert Okito Coco. Your Honors, this case presents a fairly straightforward question of statutory interpretation, and it's basically summed up by, if someone is found to be operating a device while intoxicated, does the state first have to prove that that device is a vehicle under Chapter 169 of the Minnesota statutes before it can deem it to be a motor vehicle under the DWI statutes, which are encoded in Chapter 169A? The case law says that that's the case. That's the holding of Greenman and Brown. Self-propelled devices are not per se motor vehicles. This court has found that a Segway is not a motor vehicle and that an electric wheelchair is not a motor vehicle. The device in question here is a forklift. And when we look at the definition of forklift, or not, forklift's not defined in statute, vehicle's defined in statute. When we look at the definition of vehicle, we see that a vehicle is any device which is or may be used to transport persons or property on a highway. Now, I would submit that that is an ambiguous phrasing, that the word may be is subject to two reasonable interpretations. May be can mean is legally permitted, and it can also mean is physically capable. We have to resolve that contradiction by applying the canons of construction. When we apply the canons of
Your authority that may be includes legally permitted?
That's the plain language of the word may be. May, if you look in the dictionary, means is capable of and is permitted. May be is not defined in statute.
Well, I mean, is capable of, that's that second part that you just, you know, you joined the two as alternatives, because I think, are you arguing ambiguity, I'm guessing?
I am arguing ambiguity.
Okay. So you're trying to join the two, and so I'm struggling with the legally part, not the permitted part. I get that it would include mm-hmm. permitted. I'm wondering about legally. And you might guess why I'm wondering that. It's because our case law maybe suggests there's a difference between being permitted and legally permitted, and that this is a statute that doesn't incorporate a legally permitted requirement. It incorporates a permitted requirement.
Well, I think that we also have to look at the fact that we have to read this in light of the legislature not intending absurd outcomes. And so if we don't
get to that, though, unless the statute is ambiguous.
Yes,
So I don't think you can rely on absurdity to then find ambiguity. I think we gotta be ambiguous first, and then we start thinking about absurdity.
Okay, so even if we read out the fact that maybe necessarily means legally permitted, we're still left with the fact that if we just simply read maybe as is permitted to go onto the road, we have to ask is permitted by whom? And the person who controls what is allowed to go on the road and what isn't allowed to go on the road is some sort of legal authority. There's no private party with the authority to designate what devices have permission to go on public roads and don't. That's definitionally the government. And so if we say if maybe means is physically capable of going on the road, and transporting persons or property, then the word is superfluous. Anything that is used to transport persons or property on the road definitionally may be used for that. It's physically capable of doing that. There's never been a case decided by this court where a non-street legal device operated off the road was found to be subject to the DWI penalties. The state relies heavily on Ruzick, which is where a bulldozer being operated off the road was found to be within the scope of Chapter 169A, but that was found only because there are specific provisions of the traffic code that allow for bulldozers and other tracked vehicles to be legally operated on the roadway. There is no such statutory provision which allows for a forklift to go on the road. Forklifts aren't operated on the road, just like Segways, just like electric wheelchairs. They're operated inside of warehouses and in parking lots.
So is there a statute that prohibits a forklift from being operated on the road?
There is no statute that prohibits forklifts from being operated on the road, but it's clear that the statutes are intended to delineate what devices are allowed to go on the road. There's statutes that say that golf carts can go on the road, bulldozers, as I mentioned, other recreational vehicles. It's clear that the statutes limit...
Other tool devices like lawnmowers.
Pardon me, Your Honor,
I'm
hear that.
I'm asking about the statutes there.
I didn't hear your question, I'm
lawnmowers.
Sorry.
Lawnmowers. Let's talk about other tools or implements, tractors, lawnmowers.
Tractors are considered under other statutes. There are statutes that specifically allow for farm equipment to go on the road.
Right, and what about lawnmowers?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
I don't either, that's why I asked you.
I would say, though, that the argument I'm making here, though, is that so long as you operate a device which is not street legal off the road, you cannot be subject to DWI penalties. But the moment you take that device on the road, it is being used to transport persons or property, and you are within the scope of the DWI law at that point. If you read the definition otherwise, I was thinking about a toy my little brother had as a child. It was a pickup truck that he could put an action figure in the bed of, and he drove around our basement. And if I had that toy right now and I decided to have four or five beers in my own basement and was driving that around, it is entirely true that that little pickup truck is physically capable of going on the road. And if all it takes is for the device to be physically capable of going on the road, I could get a DWI in my own basement for playing with a toy RC car while intoxicated. And so that is the essence of my argument here today, is that there...
Let me, if you don't mind, counsel, yeah. It seemed to me that you're proposing basically a rule of law there for the court to adopt that would make sense of these multiple definitions. Am I following you right?
That's right. I mean, I think the sensible and what the legislature clearly intended in our DWIs, in our DWI statute, is to protect the public on roads and to protect people from who are doing... whose conduct poses a risk because of the innate dangers of driving. And that is, if you choose to operate a device which can legally go on the road, there's a high likelihood that you're going to go on the road. That's what this thing is for. It's what it can be licensed to do. But if you're operating something that cannot go on the road, if you don't take it on the road, you are outside of the scope of the statute. Our case law is replete with people taking odd items on the road that never made it up to the Court of Appeals, but someone up, I believe just outside of Cloquet, actually motorized a recliner and took it on the road and was arrested for DWI. But again, he was physically on the road. He wasn't tooting around in his recliner in his living room. He was on the road. People have been...
Does that fit within the statute then?
I would argue that does fit within the statute because it is being used to transport persons or property on a roadway the moment it goes on the road.
Wheelchair. I mean, that...
It didn't make it up to the Court of Appeals, but what I'm saying is that I'm not proposing, you know, that there's... I'm proposing that there's a very simple standard here, and that is if you operate a street legal... If you operate a device which is street legal while you are intoxicated, you are within the bounds of the DWI statute, regardless of where you are.
So what are we to make of the fact that the definition of motor vehicle excludes motor boats? I mean, there's no way. I suppose there are those, I forget what they're called, those dual ones that can go on the road and then go into the water. Mm-hmm. They're very cute, old, I don't know, built in the 40s or 30s or something. But But what are we to do with that then, where they thought that they needed to the legislature to exclude that from the definition of motor vehicle?
You know, I think that perhaps the legislature was just clarifying. I don't think that that's in conflict with the rule I'm saying here. There are other items that are saying that there are other devices that are explicitly called out as being within the purview of what a motor vehicle is. But the plain language of the statute tells us that when we look at the definitions portion of 169A, we are to apply the definition of terms found in 169 unless there's some indication to the contrary. That question has been answered by this court in Brown and Greenman, that the word vehicle in 169A carries with it the meaning that is found in 169. So, in essence, the fact that boats are excluded, I suppose the legislature made that choice and is calling out an exception, but it is otherwise using vehicle as defined in Chapter 169. And so that really is the heart of my argument, is that people in their day-to-day lives operate all manner of self-propelled devices. RC cars, people who are cart attendants at a grocery store would use an electric cart pusher to bring carts into the store, and that it makes sense and it flows with the structure of the definition of vehicle, that as long as a person is free to consume alcohol and operate a self-propelled device, as long as they do so off the roadway. That doesn't mean they can't be subject to other civil and criminal penalties if they misuse that device or engage in other bad behavior. It just simply means that they are not subject to the DWI statute and the license revocation penalties that accompany it, because they have not taken a street legal device onto the road and they've not endangered the public safety or created a likely danger to the public safety by operating something which could legally be taken on the road and would be more likely to do so, such as a car, a motorcycle, a truck, etc. Forklifts just plainly don't go on the road. They're not operated in traffic the way that these other devices are. And that's why, when we look at the plain language of the statute, it makes sense to exclude a forklift as a motor vehicle on which someone can get a DWI.
Which of Brown versus Greenman, which of those two cases do you think tracks your analysis more closely? And I'm trying to remember which one was the Segway case.
It was Greenman. Okay. Now, I think both of those pose sort of a different question of law, because it was clear from the facts of those cases that Brown and Greenman had a better argument that they were some sort of pedestrian under Chapter 169. You know, that a forklift is not used like a Segway or a wheelchair for personal mobility. A forklift is used to transport, it's used to transport goods inside of warehouses. That's its job, to lift up pallets.
Well, and isn't the other big difference between Brown, Greenman, and this case that Brown and Greenman do focus on, as you pointed out, they go to 169.011 first and the exclusion there for personal assistive mobility devices, which of course has no application to a forklift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would agree with that, but I think that the fact is that personal mobility devices, what Chapter 169 regulates is traffic. People in wheelchairs are in traffic. People on Segways are in traffic. People on forklifts are not in traffic. I've been driving in Minnesota for almost 20 years now, and I've never encountered a forklift, you know, making a left-hand turn at a stoplight, in a roundabout, on the freeway.
Well, you haven't. You're describing your driving experience, but there are some very large industrial parks where it's easy for me to imagine, and I don't think it's a big leap for me to ask you to imagine, mm-hmm. the hypothetical where a forklift is moving among a number of different buildings, and that might include going on a road. Now, it might be a private road, but it's a road, and there may be other vehicles driven on that road. So, I mean, I'm not describing the facts in this case, all right? But I am describing
Our case law is very clear that the scope of Chapter 169 is limited to public roads. It excludes private roads. It excludes parking lots. There are cases where individuals have been spotted committing a traffic violation in a private parking lot and have been stopped for that, And the court has held that there's no requirement that one signals a turn inside of a parking lot.
And I understand that, counsel, in terms of the criminal penalties for DWI. So I guess I'll just stretch my hypothetical a little bit more, because we are all aware of very large industrial parks that spread over several things, including private and public roads. Again, I just don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to say that a forklift operator may take that forklift on a public road while accessing and doing that operator's job.
And my position would be is that if the forklift operator physically does that while intoxicated, that conduct is encompassed by the statute. Then they are operating that on a public road. But a forklift itself doesn't subject someone to operation of a forklift itself while intoxicated does not subject one to DWI penalties unless you take it onto the public road.
So how do we read that in? Because there's case law saying it doesn't matter if it's public or private property, right?
That case law all deals with street legal items. It deals with, or street legal devices. It deals with cars. And I would say that a car is legally permitted to go on a road. You have to license a car to take it on a road. The bulldozer in Ruzick was explicitly found that you could obtain a license to bring it onto the road. What this hinges on is this a device which the statute contemplates being permitted to be operated on a roadway? And a forklift is not one of those devices. And I see that I have 9 seconds left, so I will yield the remainder of my time unless there are other questions.
Yeah, and it looks like we've concluded our questions for now, but of course you have those 5 additional minutes for rebuttal if you choose.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, and may it please the court, Katrina Joseph appearing on behalf of Respondent, State of Minnesota. Your Honors, the district court ruling in this case should be affirmed. It should be affirmed because, one, its decision is consistent with state statute. 2, it's consistent with the prior precedent of this court. And 3, it's also consistent with the public safety goals of Minnesota's DWI statutes and, frankly, common sense. Counsel has made an argument that the statute at issue here is ambiguous, and that simply cannot be further from the truth. Chapter 169 and the definition of vehicles specifically and motor vehicles by extension has been litigated before this court and before the Minnesota Court of Appeals many times. It's very clear, the case law is very clear, that the vehicle operated by a defendant in a DWI does not need to be street legal. It just has to have the possibility that it could be operated on public or private property within this state.
And that's your exactly, best authority for that, counsel?
I would refer the court specifically to Ruzick. The court on page 91 of its decision specifically holds that the implied consent law does not restrict its definition of vehicles to those that can only be legally driven on a highway.
Right, but then the court goes on to say, let's assume that's required, and it goes on to say bulldozers may be legally driven upon a roadway with special permits. I mean, it's not uncommon for our decisions to have alternate reasoning. The sentence you rely on is one sentence that at least I am not seeing extensive precedent relying on that one sentence.
You're correct about that, Judge. It isn't something that has been frequently litigated in terms of whether it has to be street legal. But Ruzick is directly on point. And I think what the court, when it reviews that decision, should be looking at is that to the extent that a bulldozer could be operated legally on the street by getting a permit, in Ruzick, that didn't happen. The defendant was just driving his equipment on private property. There was no permit whatsoever. So to the extent that it could have been street legal under certain circumstances, those circumstances were absolutely not present in Ruzick. And
the court made that point. Let me just ask one more time, just because I may not have been clear the first time. Do we have any case law relying on that sentence in Ruzick to apply that, the rule that you're now articulating as being well established?
Because no, Your Honor,
yeah,
we don't
so
have
I,
any.
I couldn't find it either, and I mean, I guess that's, you know, you're making much of the idea that this statute is not ambiguous based on one sentence in Ruzick that has not been applied by a court since. And so I just, I just wonder if you want to back up a bit and really do a statutory analysis and respond more directly to appellant's argument.
Absolutely, Your Honor. So Rizik has the holding specifically about the statute not requiring a vehicle be street legal, but there is substantial case law about the definition of a vehicle specifically, not only in the DWI context. It has been interpreted by this court's. Now, counsel refers to the Segway cases and electric wheelchair cases, and in those cases, what the court did was look at the statute, see that there was an exception for those assisted mobility devices, and find that they were excluded from that statute. There is no specific exclusion in this statute anywhere for a forklift. There is no exclusion for a vehicle that cannot be legally driven on a street or highway. So what counsel is asking you to do is insert new language into this statute and create new law. And that's not this court's job.
So the way I heard counsel's argument is he was very focused on the language of the statute, you know, starting with how do we construe, you know, we do have so multiple definitions of motor vehicle and vehicle. And so my background would suggest to me that we would certainly look at 169A because that is the statute that defines the terms for this particular DWI offense, but lo and behold, that statute refers us to another statute. So we have to construe them all together, right, and try to keep them consistent.
Absolutely.
Help me do that. Because when counsel does it, he says, well, look, there are two ways of looking at whether it may be driven upon a highway. It's legally possible or able to, or it is capable of doing it, so can be. So what's your response to that?
So, Your Honor, if you look at Chapter 169A.03, it defines a motor vehicle as any vehicle that's self-propelled, and then it refers you to Chapter 169.011, which says every device in, upon, or by which any person or property is or may be transported or drawn upon a highway. And while counsel certainly attempts to argue that that is ambiguous, the statute in this case, may be transported or drawn, means it may be transported or drawn. And in this case, it couldn't.
I mean, you heard counsel's argument. He's got a dual definition of maybe, legally permitted or capable.
Your Honor, I think it means capable of being operated, drawing persons or property upon a highway.
So you would only go with the second definition, capable of. So
yes,
Your Honor. What's wrong with his argument on the legally permitted side?
Well, I think two things. First of all, counsel is attempting to insert words into that portion of the statute that are not present and encouraging this court to read them in. And the second thing is that the rules of construction don't support doing that. When you look at how the court is supposed to interpret statutes and how the court is supposed to resolve, as you mentioned, Your Honor, reading statutes together and resolving those, I think this court has in the past made those resolutions, found that these particular statutes are not ambiguous. And so for the court to do it in this case, I think would frankly go against many other cases that have interpreted this particular portion of the statute, not just in the DWI arena as well. So I think, again, consistent with those rulings that...
You're certainly describing exactly how I understand this court is to proceed. What I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, is focus more specifically on the word may and whether that word encompasses permission. Because if it may be done, how do I know whether that's permission or whether it's talking about capability?
Well, I think, again, Your Honor, then that what I have to direct your attention to is Rizik. And while there may not be other case law relying on it, it is a published decision of this court. And in that decision, the court says that it does not restrict the definition of vehicles to those that can be legally driven on a street. Now, It might just be one case, but many of our precedents in this state and elsewhere are one case. So I don't think that mitigates the strength of that opinion. There hasn't been anything ruling otherwise, frankly. So I would encourage the court to follow this holding in Rizik on that issue. I also want to address the public versus private property argument that counsel has raised both in their brief and here before the court. The DWI statutes are not the same as the Chapter 169 traffic code. In Chapter 169A, the legislature makes it very clear that the DWI laws apply to all property within the state of Minnesota. Does not matter if it's public or private, and that is specifically defined in statute, Your Honor. So the fact that this vehicle was operated solely on private property does not exclude it from the DWI statute. In fact,
what if it's never operated on any kind of a road or driveway at all? I mean, it's a forklift, but it's a really small one, the kind they use in warehouses to lift pallets up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, the driver stands up. There's not even a seat in it. Is that a motor vehicle such that if the employee was drunk? And, I mean, do we have to look at how it was used? It never left the warehouse once it was delivered?
No, Your Honor, I don't think that that's the proper analysis for this court at all. It doesn't matter how that forklift was historically used. It matters that it was being used while the operator of that forklift was under the influence of alcohol. So if, for instance, a forklift...
Any self-propelled piece of equipment then constitutes a motor vehicle, as long as it's not specifically excluded.
Correct.
Okay.
So lawnmowers are definitely included, right?
Yes, they would be.
Okay.
And then what about those little to use, I don't know if this is exactly what counsel for appellant was thinking about, but those little, you know, they're like battery operated, they look like little sports cars that kids ride around on, they're self-propelled on sidewalks. So if somebody had some beers and went driving around in that in their driveway or sidewalk, you could get a DWI?
Theoretically, yes.
Okay.
Theoretically, yes. Now, of course, whether you get a DWI is going to be dependent significantly on whether someone calls law enforcement, but absolutely. So if somebody took a vehicle like that, one of those little cars, and goes driving it, you know, down the sidewalk, well, they have a 0.20 alcohol concentration. My position and what I assert to this court is that operator should be held responsible under Minnesota's DWI laws.
How about, you know, I think this was actually counsel's example. He's driving around in the basement of his house, never leaves his house. But let's figure there's no search and seizure, there's no, you know, a constitutional issue somehow or another. The police find out, he gets a ticket.
Well, Your Honor, I'll be honest. As a prosecutor, I'm having a hard time visualizing how that chain of events would occur. But let's assume that someone like that was arrested for DWI. I think the fact that it's inside their own home, in that situation in the basement, I think that takes it out of the realm of what we're talking about here. If they were outside in their lawn and they were driving it around, certainly then that would be a different question. But I honestly, with my experience of how DWIs come to be and the evidence that you need, I don't know how you would get from a basement to a DWI in a practical sense. But again, if someone was driving a little car like that down the street, on the sidewalk, it doesn't matter if it's street legal or not. They've committed a DWI if they're impaired at the time that they were operating it. And I think that that's, again, supported by the statutes and by case law.
And if I'm following you right, so if we do have these devices that are not legally permitted on the road, and I may be making some assumptions, but I'm assuming these children's cars are not legally permitted on the road, and there are probably a number of other devices, maybe even lawnmowers. Riding lawnmowers are probably not legally permitted on the road. I don't know
Just
guessing.
Yeah. Dirt bikes are not.
So if someone was riding that lawnmower in their backyard, mowing their lawn, and it's a fenced-in area, but they're intoxicated, you're telling me they are subject?
Potentially, yes. So if that lawnmower driver drove their lawnmower into the side of the house and law enforcement was called and there was probable cause to do field sobriety testing and ultimately to do evidentiary testing of some sort, fluid or breath, then yes, they could be charged with a DWI. Absolutely. And that's consistent with things that have happened across the state. This was in the brief to the lower court mentioned just in a sentence or two in the brief to this court. But there have been everything from lawnmowers to tractors to things that people just cobble together and drive down the street. DWIs in the state.
The difference that counsel points out, and if you'd respond to it, is, I mean, there are statutes that allow farm implement devices. I'm probably using the wrong term, but farming devices to be driven on the road for obvious reasons, to allow farmers to get their work done, right?
Yes.
And this category is just so totally different. It's not necessary in any way to take a forklift upon the road.
I would agree. Or
a lawnmower, for that matter, particularly if you're using the lawnmower in your fenced-in backyard to mow the lawn.
I would agree with you that it's not necessary to take it on the roadway, but that isn't the question.
The criminal statute, we usually narrowly construe it. So is that something that... That we should consider in understanding what it means for a device, means every device by which any person is or may be transported or drawn upon a highway.
Well, I would also point the court to this prior case law from both this court and the Minnesota Supreme Court, in which the courts have been very clear that Minnesota's DWI laws are to be interpreted very liberally because of the public safety interests, unlike normal criminal...
Right, where it serves public safety, but we don't have, at least not on this record, we don't have a public safety issue. We had a personal danger issue here in this case.
I would disagree, Your Honor.
Okay,
I think that someone who is under the influence of alcohol, who is so extremely impaired as this individual was here, who is operating a piece of heavy machinery, a self-propelled piece of heavy machinery, in the vicinity of other people. There were other people that were working that day who witnessed his conduct, driving it through a docking door and off of a loading dock. Presented both a public safety issue, a safety issue for him, and a safety issue for the people around him. And that's really what it comes down to. The fact that no one else was injured is luck in a DWI, and frankly for this defendant. And Your Honor, if there's no further questions, I will yield the remainder of my time. Thank you.
It looks like we have finished asking questions. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. And counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd just like to begin by pointing out that my proposed definition of the vehicle is not in tension with Rizik in any way. I'm not sitting here and telling the court that DWI statutes only apply to public property. Far from it. What I am saying, though, is that a vehicle on private property is subject to DWI laws, but a vehicle in this context is one which is legally permitted to go on the road, which a forklift is not. I think that respondent, both in their brief and here today, has failed to articulate how may be, as used in this statute, can only mean is physically capable of, and how my proposed reading of the statute is somehow wrong. Again, applying the canons of construction, we have to give each word independent meaning. Something that is used to transport persons or property definitionally is capable of. Therefore, maybe has to mean the alternative definition is legally permitted.
So help me understand your rule of law in light of the sentence in Rizik. First, the implied consent law, I realize different mm-hmm. scenario, but let's just say the DWI law, does not restrict its definition of vehicles to those that can only be legally driven upon a highway.
Because
say we should, so that sounds completely.
I'm actually not.
Opposite.
What I'm saying is that a vehicle is definitionally one that can be legally driven on the highway, or one that is driven on the highway. That when the person takes their lawnmower onto the road, their lawnmower is now legally a vehicle. Until they make that decision to take their lawnmower onto the road, their lawnmower is not a vehicle, and that's why. Because of some of the practical realities of policing that counsel for respondent mentioned, we haven't confronted this question before about whether a non-street legal vehicle being operated off the street is within the scope of the definition of vehicle. Because impaired drivers come to the attention of police when they are on the street, when they choose to take their lawnmower on the street, when they choose to take their motorized lazy boy on the street. That's how these things come up. And without this restriction, there is nothing in Chapter 169A to suggest that you couldn't get a DWI for operating a self-propelled device within your own home. The scope is very broad. It applies everywhere within the state of Minnesota. My living room is within the state of Minnesota. And so, to conclude, essentially what my position is and what we're arguing to this court is that there is a limit to where and when you can get a DWI, that everybody in their daily life operates some sort of device which is self-propelled, and they operate it with inside their own home or on public or on private property, and that device isn't street legal. You're not allowed to do whatever you want with that device. You can't harm people with it. You can't operate it in a negligent fashion. There are criminal and civil penalties associated with that. But you are not subject to the penalties associated with a DWI unless you take that non-street legal device onto the roadway. A person should not be subject to license revocation for operating a toy car, as we've used, in their own backyard or in their basement. That's the distinction here. If your device is street legal, you can get a DWI anywhere. If your device is not street legal, you can only get a DWI on the street, because otherwise it's not a vehicle under this statute. And if there's no further questions, I'm happy to yield the remainder of my time.
Anything further from the panel? All right, thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the lawyers in this case. It's been very helpful to the court to have you available today and to hear your arguments. It very much helps and guides us as we reach our decision. So with that, this matter is now submitted to the court for a decision, and we will issue a decision within the statutory time frame. So with that, we have completed two of our five cases on our calendar today, and this court will now be in recess.